He is the president of the Toronto Raptors and the architect of this franchise. Here is Masai Ujiri. How are you?
What's going on, Bob?
Same
How
old.
Doing, Richard?
How are you, Masai?
Same old, same old. Lynn Deal is done, and he's in uniform tonight, yes?
Yes, sir.
Was this an easy choice for you? This is a guy who has had his moments in the sun. He played, I think we said, Richard, 35 games or something for the New York Knicks. It seemed like he was there for longer. Has been on a couple of Sports Illustrated covers. Has played for 8 teams. He's only 30 years old. Bounced around a little bit. Tell me what you like about him.
You know, I think while looking at the, you know, the prospect of a Jeremy Lin that, you know, we all talk about from years before, but I think his game has really evolved as, you know, a steady guard that can really shoot, he can create, and to have the opportunity to have him here as the third guard. I think when you hear these kind of signings, it almost like from the way it's overblown, it almost seems like he's coming to be like the starting point guard just because of the name, you know. Like, but
oh, I know.
That has been his role for a while. I think he fits in the role that we're bringing him in, and I think that's the most important aspect, is that you have a guy with that unique experience coming to play as your third point guard.
Look, the guy's obviously got smarts. He's a, I was going to say a smart kid, but I guess to me, he's still a kid at age 30, but he's a Harvard guy, undrafted Harvard guy. Masai, dumb guys don't get into Harvard, you know? You got to have some general smarts. What does that mean to a basketball guy like you?
It means a lot. It means that those smarts transform to the basket, transfers to the basketball court in some kind of way. I think, again, a player like this with his unique experience, with his background, to me, at this moment is something that we need in some kind of way on this team as we kind of navigate, you know, like the parts and the places that we're trying to go to be a successful team in the near future, which means the end of the season and also the playoffs.
I want to get into the Gasol thing because we haven't talked to you since you got Gasol, and man, has he been an eye-opener in his first two games with the Raptors. But Gasol is an interesting story, too. He's a smart basketball player, an experienced basketball player, a leader on the court, the most talkative guy probably in your entire organization. It seems to set some sort of a pattern here. You know, you get the Harvard grad who's got experience, I don't know whether you'd call him a role model or whatever. I don't know whether in the middle of a season you can bring guys in and have them as role models. And Gasol is the same kind of guy. What do you think the significance of these two players can have on the other 10, 12 guys on your roster?
He can't do anything but help, Bob, to be honest. You know, like the difficult part, you know, of all of this is it's what comes with having a good team. It's what comes with the expectation of, you know, we have a superstar, we have all-star on our team, you know, like it comes with the expectation of trying to win a championship or at least our goals to, you know, like get to an unbelievable place that we haven't been to. And we have to put it together in some kind of ways. And we felt that these were the kind of pieces that could maybe help us, you know, like sometimes these things are on paper and you hope that they can actually like can transfer to the basketball court. But we know who Gasol is. We know who Jeremy Lin is. The problem with trade deadline moves is chemistry, is fitting together, it's timing and all of that. And that's the, I don't want to say gamble, but that's the that's the price you pay, maybe, you know, like, but in terms of these guys, adding these guys, you know, like, at least you know what you're getting. We feel comfortable that you know what you're getting, an experience, you're getting experienced guys, you're getting high basketball IQ guys, you're getting tough guys, you know, tough guys, you're getting guys that, you know, like, give us some sense of, we have good leaders on our team, you know, like, but additional leadership, additional sense of responsibilities, it can be hurtful at all.
Masai, Harvard's great, but, you know, still keep your eye on Duke and Kentucky, please, when it comes to draft. Masai, philosophically, I'm interested in how you see...
Well, 46 and 16.
That's right. Philosophically, I'm interested in how you see the usage this year of Kawhi Leonard. It seems to me that the team, Nick and the staff, have figured out the happy medium between playing Kawhi, but also at the same time giving him load management and rest for what really is going to matter, and that's come April.
It's very important, you know, like, I'm not going to give examples of players that have gotten hurt, or, but that's very important. That was important for us when we got Kawhi Leonard. It was important for us in our plan, in our program, and now we're just executing, you know, like, this is Alex McKechnie, along with other people, you know, like, to help us with this whole process. And I tell fans to, you know, I know you want to see him every game, you know, like, but the guy had an injury last year. We have to be we have to take precaution, and we have to do the necessary things, you know, like, to help him recover, not in one day, not in one month. The goal is the goal is the playoffs. The goal is how do we compete at the end? And I feel, you know, I think these guys have taken the right measures.
Masai, Bob and I are in the privileged position of being able to have access to you to ask you these questions. So I do want to ask you this, and I'll probably ask you this every time you're on, and that is, how would you characterize the current recruiting for Kawhi Leonard as you look to ultimately convince him to stick around?
We're going to, as I always say, we're going to be ourselves, you know, like, there is a huge advantage in recruiting, in having him in our house for 1 year. I'll take that every day over doing a 1 hour presentation to a free agent. And so he gets to see us. He gets to see who we are. We can build trust. We can build a relationship. And yeah, Kawhi is a grown man. He's going to decide, what he wants to do. And I believe just from getting to knowing Kawhi very, very well now and more, that he will make the right decision, you know. And but our part is just keep doing what you're doing. Health is his priority, you know, like winning a championship is his priority. And I feel that's really, really strong for us. And we're going to do everything we can to show him that we're the right organization, we're the right place. And this is not just talking, you know, like recruiting is recruiting, you know, like, free agent pitches is free agent pitches, you know, like, we have him every day, you know, like, so he sees who we are and he sees the organization that we are. And I think there's a lot of substance to that.
Do you think there's a chance he re-signs with you or signs with you before he goes into free agency? Would you? I mean, that would be the preference, wouldn't it?
He's going to make his decision at the end of the year. You know, like, he's told us that. He's told me that. You know, like, and I'm fine with that. You know, like, for me, that's when you're in a position like this, you have the right to look at all your options, you know, like, we just want to make our option the strongest one and the best one after he's had a year here.
We got news, I don't know, about a month ago, maybe a few weeks ago, that he bought a house in San Diego. Did that raise an eyebrow with you? Does that mean anything in terms of his future? I don't think so, but what do you think?
Absolutely nothing. You know, like, I think it's a property we bought, a place that you have, in my opinion, forever. It's regardless of where he plays, he was going to get this place. So there's no that was explained to me, and I'm fully and happily confident with the explanation.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I said this on the air when the announcement came, because a lot of people raised an eyebrow, and I said, well, wait a sec. You know, all this talk about him going to L.A., either the Clippers or the Lakers, he didn't buy a house in L.A. He bought a house that is four hours south of Los Angeles. He's not going to be living in the house in San Diego during the season. So he could have bought a house anywhere. It really wouldn't have made any difference. If he'd bought in L.A., I think maybe you and I would have gone, well, that's not too good. But that's not what happened, right?
No question. Not a big deal at all, actually, you know, like, was explained and very well. And I did not question it for one second.
Have you how many players do you have to sign? Have you signed enough players since the Gasol trade?
We've signed three now, and I think we have one more roster spot open. I think we're going to be flexible with that. With that roster spot and people, I think everybody's getting anxious now because the buyout market is March 1st, you know, like, and so there'll be more people that will you have to be waived by March 1st to play in the playoffs in the NBA. And so my guess is there'll be a few more teams that will probably not be in the race in 3 weeks from now, and maybe there'll be more names there, but just keep that secret on your radio show here.
Oh yeah, sure.
Masai, I'm fascinated by this. When you're thinking about acquiring someone like Marc Gasol, you've seen him in the league for, you know, a decade plus. You can watch him every night on television. There's obviously a ton of film on him. How much, though, did you end up relying on firsthand scouting from people in your organization looking at him this year versus the entire resume and body of Marc Gasol, which is obviously a great all-star resume?
We look at everything, every single thing, you know, like including having his national team coach on our staff, you know, like in Sergio, you know, like, so.
Right.
Every single thing we've looked at, from history, from I went back as far as, you know, like the first time when I was just a scout in Denver to seeing him play, and what my notes were at the time. You know, you have to in determining somebody's character, you know, you go back and also to see somebody's growth, whether it's the leader he has become or the basketball player that he's become, or the way Mark changed his body, you know, like over the years, there's so many things that evolved. The selfless person he was, you know, like this guy did not entertain any free agent meetings or anything, you know, like signed with Memphis a couple times. You know, I think that for me, you know, those things are things that are well documented, that we have documented and really assessed, you know, tons and tons of meetings, video watching, all those things, the process that we go through, talking to our analytics guys and how it fits with our program, whether it's passing, scoring, whether it's walling on defense, so all those things we've taken into consideration, and then you make the comparison to what you have and what you have to give up. And those are the debates. That's the process that we go through to make moves like this.
So what criteria are you using to evaluate Nick Nurse this year?
Man, he's out if he doesn't win a championship.
Thanks for the news, Masai. We appreciate that.
Okay, there's a bullet.
Yeah, breaking news, okay?
Yeah. I'll call Nick, let him know.
Yeah, you tell Nick.
I got a different question for you.
Tell me.
Porzingis, there's a quote that Porzingis, before he was traded by the Knicks, had a list of four teams he would be interested in going to. It turned out he went to a team that wasn't on that list. But one of the teams on that list was the Toronto Raptors. And it's been suggested that you were active in trying to acquire him. That being said, in the past week, Chris Bosh, the former Raptor, talked about Toronto not being able to sign free agents, big-name free agents. We have gone through this with baseball. And my position has always been, well, you'll get them when you have a good team.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about Porzingis, and tell me what you read in the Bosch interview, and whether you agree, disagree. How do you feel about it?
All I can say, you know, Bob, is there's going to come a time, you know, like when this thing is going to revolve and there are a lot of international players, global players, American players, Canadian players, different, all kinds that are going to have interest in this program. That's just what time does. That's what life does. You know, like, so I don't live in the time when I worked here as assistant GM. I don't live in the time that Chris Bosh was here. I learned from those opportunities. I learned from that time. But this time is now. All those times we were fighting to be in the playoffs. And today, every year we talk about how far do we go in the playoffs? How far can we push? You know, like, so that puts us, I think, in a separate conversation, you know, because winning is part of somehow winning has become part of our program. We're proud of our program. We're proud of our fans. We're proud of the city. You know, all those little talk, I think, he says that, but in my opinion, you know, like the Toronto Raptors has evolved. We're one of 30 teams and we're very proud to be one of those 30 teams. And honestly, like, we're going to try every means anyhow to bring players here, whether it's drafting, whether it's trading, or whether it's signing free agents. So I really don't live in the time of when Chris Bosh is talking about. I don't want to talk about players on other teams, but I am confident and I know that there are players in the future that would want to come and play here, or I'm very confident that there will be players that want to come and play for our franchise. If we don't think that way, then we shouldn't be in this business. If we're not preparing for that, then I shouldn't be here. If you're not confident about that, then honestly, like, we shouldn't be here. We should be confident as a country. We should be confident as a team, as a city. You know, people talk about that here. Yeah, like, for me, that's back talk. That talk is gone a long time ago. We should be confident of who we are here now. And maybe at his time too, Chris Bosh, you know, like, if it was in this time, maybe he would be attracting more free agents here, because maybe the team will be better. You know, like, maybe he would be attracting another player to come here.
Yeah,
you
well,
know, like,
well said.
Because
yeah.
You would see it different,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I agree with you on that. I think Bosh is wrong. I mean, I think he was probably right given the era in which he played,
right.
But he's wrong now. And I think it's intriguing, too. What the other thing I find really interesting, I mean, you're a guy who has an international vision of basketball. You're not reluctant to look at for players in places where other organizations won't look. But Porzingis wanted to come here, allegedly. Gasol was happy to come here. Valanciunas was unhappy to leave here. You know, international players, you've had some success in attracting them. Why do you think that is? Why has there been more success with international players than there has been with the traditional American-born player? Any idea?
I have no idea, you know, like, but I think sometimes it's because people don't know this place as well, you know, like, and to be honest, you know, like, until the day Brian Colangelo picked me from the airport when he hired me. I didn't really know, and you know of the city, you know, like you hear how great it is. I'm a curious person. I read about the city, but I didn't know, you know, like much about about it, you know, like so. And then in your mind, I think sometimes in their mind, you know, it's almost like you think of it as going to another country, which is the right way to think about it, because it is going to another country, you know, like, but it's the open mindedness, I think, of looking at a city like this. And we're blessed in the NBA to be the only city in the NBA that's outside the United States. There has to be some kind of advantage to it in one way or the other, you know, like, and we have to use those advantages. And I think some of the global players, maybe those players that you mentioned, maybe they see it a little bit more just because of the culture that they've grown up in. But I think the American players are beginning to see it, you know, like they are beginning to know. And it's no more that place where you just come and you party and you can come and play a game, you know, like the team is competitive. If you go and party all night, you know, like we're proud that we've only lost four or five games at home, you know, like that means you're going to play against a really good team. And people are beginning to absorb what the city is all about. And I feel confident that it's not just the global players or the international players that see that. I feel confident that winning helps, you know, winning, we're having a winning program the last 4 or 5 years, I think, begins to help us in some kind of way.
Masai, has this team? Let me phrase it this way: if the roster is healthy, if everyone is healthy, and we may not see that obviously till late March, where does your confidence level lie in terms of this team's 3-point shooting ability?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate that with Kyle's back, you know, like I think CJ Miles struggled, you know, like we have 3-point shooters, you know, like Mark can shoot, Jeremy Lin can shoot, Kawhi can shoot, Norman Powell can shoot. You go down, Serge Ibaka can shoot, you know, like so people say you're shooters. We have all these players, you know, like that can actually like shoot the ball. It's only we've gone through stages when sometimes we haven't done it so well. And yeah, there are some really sharp shooters in the NBA, you know, there's a handful of them, and maybe we don't have one of those guys on their team, but I don't know, does Boston have one, you know, like how many teams have one, you know, like those players are they're sometimes hard to acquire, or it takes unique timing, you know, like just like it was with Miles. But and sometimes it's up and down, you know. So for us, you know, like we feel that when Kyle starts to get back his health, shape, everything, you know, I think he's going to help that. I think Serge will shoot better. All these guys, Mark and Jeremy will help. Kawhi has helped, you know, like so. I think we will get. Fred is a good 3-point shooter, you know. So we can go on and on to every name, you know, like it's we've made sure that at least these guys are good 3-point shooters, and you hope that they hit form as you go.
Washington tonight and then the All-Star break, and I'm sure the players are ready for it, and then they'll come back and the final push towards the playoffs. We always appreciate you giving us your time. We thank you for it, and look forward to chatting again down the road. Thanks, Masai.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Richard. I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.